It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When the military admitted they were doing it, I don't think they really let the full, all the programs out. They let down a version that they said, well, it didn't really work that well.
All the combined information definitely came back with some very high tech, not human based technology. I think Edward himself did some very interesting sketches of occupants of the possible objects and stuff like that.
There may be evil people that want to take that, control it, convince us that we don't have it, and all of that kind of stuff. But what I say is, I say that to that. You don't have to accept that.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have a treat for everybody today. I have a long interview, and now it's long. It's going to be over 2 hours with remote viewers. These guys have a large international following. I interviewed them a few years ago, way before COVID, and now we're interviewing them again, and I'll get them back on again as well, because these are a favorite of mine, and I know that the audience really likes them too. And let me tell you who they are: Dick Allgaier, Edward Reardon, and Daz Smith. And they have been doing this remote viewing for years. And remote viewing, for those who have not checked into it, it has been proven that 2% or more, I don't know, but they claim 2%, the CIA claims, when they did a deep dive into, you know, whether psychics exist or whether people have this ability, and they say that 2% of the population naturally has a keen gift towards psychic phenomena or being able to see or feel or sense or whatever. And these guys are in the top of the top, and they've crafted their skill towards remote viewing, and they're going to explain what it is, but they've had a really long record of success, and their following keeps growing. And it's because over the years, their record has proven out to be true for many cases. And so people go to them to figure out what's really going to be going on in the future. And they, like I said, they have a huge following. So I think you'll enjoy this discussion that we do. It's a little different, but it sure is really fun, I think, anyways. But before I get into it, I want to remind you that the fall coupon for the Z-Stack is still good. I just checked it. Fall 10. Be sure to use the link that I have below, and you can get all the Z-Stack products, you know, with the immune system really at risk. I don't know how much we're at risk if you haven't gotten the jab from shedding. And if you have gotten the jab, we do know that your immune system is compromised. The data just keeps coming out, and the excess death reports keep climbing. So the best thing you can do for you and your family is to keep your immune system really strong. And the late Dr. Zelenko said the best thing is to keep from getting sick in the first place. And that's by keeping your immune system high. I have multiple products that'll help you with that. Whether it's the multi-pack vitamins that I have, the organic, or the greens with vitamin D, or the Z-Stack line of products where I have the fall 10 coupon so that you can save 10%. Look into that because it's always good to save money. And if you're, I don't know how long this coupon is going to be good for. So be sure to stock up while you can save money. And again, the link is below. Now let's get into this really good conversation. It's long. There's going to be two parts. So this is part one. It's with our panel of expert remote viewers. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for returning to the program.
Oh, Sarah, thank you for having us. You know, I looked in the email thread and it seems like we were just on, but it was September 3rd, 2019.
It was before COVID.
A lot has happened.
A lot. We're a different world today. And so I said, oh my gosh, I got to get you guys back. And you're going to give us this oracle view of the future, I hope. And you guys are going to educate us. Well, first of all, I don't care who takes us on. Tell us what remote viewing is. And, you know, is it legit? People are going to, you know, people are new to this. So what is it? And why is it? Why does it work?
Daz, why don't you start? Why don't we go Daz, Edward, and then me?
Okay. Remote viewing is essentially any kind of psychic method, really, but used within what we call a set of scientific protocols. And these are rules that make what we do more scientific. And it also allows us to have an element of feedback so that after we do our psychic thing, we can check our data that we get to see how accurate it is over time. And as a remote viewer, we can, using our inbuilt senses, we can go anywhere in time and space to get any kinds of information.
That's so cool. And, you know, the CIA had did a deep dive into whether psychic abilities was legit. And they found that, 2% of people are highly psychic. But everybody has a little bit, but there's a small percentage of people that are highly psychic. Would you guys consider yourself in that group of 2%? I mean, that means a lot of people still 2%.
Oh man, that's a good question. I think that it kind of depends on how you categorize people, as far as like psychic or remote viewing, or kind of, you know, there's some of these phrases kind of pigeonhole people a little bit sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, it's a range.
But what I can say for the three of us, and we also have a third remote viewer on our team, but we are very active remote viewers. We're constantly putting out work, and we've been putting out work for decades. And a lot of that work is on public display, so people can look at our results. And in my opinion, because of the volume of work that we do and the quality of it, I would say that we're in a pretty good percentage as far as in this field. I think we do pretty good.
Yeah. And so, I mean, people watch you and follow you, so they know that what you're doing, or you've proven yourself over time, over 20 years, things that you've seen has happened. And so people are like, okay, these guys have something going on. And we know that a certain percentage of people, and I don't want to say percentage because it's a spectrum of abilities, right? Isn't that really and there's people who are just really attuned, and then there's others all the way to not being attuned.
I would think it's higher than 2%. I think everybody has had a moment where they have had some communication with their subconscious that they can't explain, where the mother knows her children are in trouble. The person that thinks of an old friend that they haven't heard from in 10 years, like they just start thinking about them, and then that person pops up on a phone call, or they see an email about them, where you just knew something. Remote viewing is a natural communication skill that uses a set of structured protocols to teach normal people how to access this natural psi ability that we have. Everybody has a subconscious that's been waiting to talk to them their whole lives. It's been trying to tap you on the shoulder and you don't listen. So remote viewing is a structured way to, on demand, have moments of non-local awareness so you can bring back sensory data from a given target, regardless of time or space. And it was when the military admitted they were doing it, I don't think they really let the full, all the programs out. They let down a version that they said, well, it didn't really work that well.
I'm sure. Yes. Yeah. We didn't really know it, but there was a point in time that everybody accepted it as, I remember growing up, and no, the 70s were such an open time. We could talk about these things and everybody believed that this was happening. It wasn't questioned and stuff. And now we kind of got into the dark ages or something changed. And there's two worlds. I mean, there's a lot of people that still accept it, obviously, otherwise you wouldn't be so popular and people wouldn't be following you. But there really is this line drawn. The regular media won't ever talk about it. And it's, or very rarely, it's different than it used to be. Yeah, you guys think so?
Well, there has been a concerted effort to tamp this down. When we last talked to you in 2019, our sources had been telling, I was told in 2018, is Dick, you're going to have to watch what you say on YouTube. They've got new regulations that are starting in Europe and it's going to spread here and they're going to be
and that was true.
Shadow banning and deplatforming people. So,
yeah, that was true. And they were going to be shadow banning and deplatforming people that do what you guys do as well. But what you guys do, it's hard not to get into things that are controversial or that questions a narrative doing what you do. I mean, I would think that's very difficult.
Well, we do it in a private forum, and that's, we have some really smart people that help us. We're lucky, and Edward and Daz can talk to this, about the fact that we're allowed to just be remote viewers. We don't have to do any business stuff. I go on once in a while and say, hey, look at our channel, patreon.com/cryptoviewing, or I slid in a promo, but we don't have to do websites. We don't have to do billing. We don't have to do business. And we're allowed to do it in private because in a private membership setting, you can say whatever you want.
Sure, yeah. It's
allowed. So I know that Daz and Edward both really appreciate the fact that we're allowed to just be remote viewers and do what we do. It's a great gig, isn't it, guys?
Yeah,
I could imagine. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, if I could just do what I do. But go ahead.
the setup of it is kind of perfect for us remote viewers, because like Dick was saying, this is like my remote viewing laboratory here, and so I'm experimenting and doing remote viewing experiments and stuff like that all the time, and we've been able to take it into full on lifestyle. Whereas, maybe before we had to break it up and, do other things to pay the bills or whatever. But because we came together like this and we do it successfully, we're able to really take it on to a higher level of lifestyle and really kind of push the envelope.
Well, that's great.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Well, is it showing you that this is, people really are hungry for what you guys do? Because I think, we're so in the dark as to what the average person is, so in the dark as to what's going on in this world. And they want to have clarity and understanding of where things are going, because the messages that are out there and all these channels, it can get pretty dark and scary.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, one of the ways that I kind of look at crypto viewing, I mean, we're pushing like 4.5 years, almost 5 years of crypto viewing. And I kind of do look at it as a as kind of a navigation system, you know, where we're all trying to navigate through kind of choppy waters, noisy environments, and trying to just kind of guide our way through in a way that you know, for our best survival in some cases. But we also do things just for the sake of it's interesting. So we do have a lot of people who are interested in our work because they do want to have an understanding of what's going on, where we're going. They're looking for our remote viewing work to pull in information that is future relevant. But we do that. And we also do interesting things too, for us as remote viewers, because we have to exercise our muscles in all kinds of areas to keep it interesting to us. So we do mystery targets,
sure,
and all kinds.
Yeah.
We do fun stuff too.
Oh yeah.
So that way people, our subscribers, we provide a range of topics and information for them, which is kind of cool.
Hey Daz, when you go to a family gathering, do they consider you the crazy uncle, or do they accept what you do? I've never asked you this all the years I've known you. Your family and friends think you're crazy?
Very close family. I mean, everyone knows what I do because, you know, I'm very open with it. But all my close family, you know, the ones that were born on the Smith side and not by marriage, we were all brought up in this. I was one of the lucky ones to be brought up in a household where my mother was a clairvoyant healer medium, and I was trained in that from the age of 15 onwards. And our usual library of books were books on dowsing, pendulums, spirit guides, and all that kind of stuff. So we didn't have any Encyclopedia Britannicas. We had literally had, you know, how to use Ouija boards and tarot cards and all that kind of stuff on the shelves. So it's the norm in my family. Yeah.
My family just mocked me. Well, it wasn't over remote viewing. They're pretty... They kind of grudgingly accept it, but I did something about Illuminati origins of the United States, and that was like one step too far. So I looked on Facebook, and my own sister had reposted what I put on YouTube, and my whole family was mocking it. They were just like ridiculing me.
I'm sorry. I guess we've all kind of experienced a little bit of that during this COVID lockdown.
It's been very divisive. So let me ask you, Sarah, since we talked in 2019, are we more or less free? Is the economy better or worse?
We're less free.
Are we more or less divided? Are we healthier? Is government control greater or lesser? I mean, where do you think things have gone?
We're less free. We're not as healthy. More government control. Mental health is on major decline. Our economy is in shambles. I think that, but we're also at a precipice where people are figuring things out and wanting to fix it. And so I guess you can't fix things until it gets bad. And in some ways, freedom of speech is both worse, a lot worse than it was 10 years ago, but it's still better than it was 30 years ago, because we still have these mediums to talk and we still have independent platforms. So, and the only way we're going to solve these big problems are through freedom of speech. We need to be able to communicate and talk and figure things out together. If we just work in back alley, you know, back rooms, and we can't communicate because we're too afraid to talk in any public forum, then things just won't get fixed. And so you kind of got me on a soapbox here, but you know, that's where I'm at. And so we're at kind of a crossroads, I think.
That's a good point. Did you have a background in journalism in television?
I have a engineering, computer science, business background. Then I went into this.
So that's a great point, because 30 years ago I was on television, and to do a program like you're doing right now, that was closely held by TV stations.
That's
They had the cameras, the transmission ability, the editing equipment. You just, a normal person, I guess they could go to the cable TV station and public access a little bit, but now you can do your own high quality program and broadcast it to the world.
And be as popular or more popular than them, unless they, you know, they're trying to figure out how to get over the fact that we're naturally more popular than they are. Like they cancel this off YouTube, they shadow ban us, they do all those things, because I think the people would rather have information like what we're putting forward. They don't want the scripted stuff that they're getting from the mass media. And in order to get the mass media to be more popular, they're doing everything they can to put them in front of their faces. And so, you know, we have that challenge, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're genuine too. Daz and I know Daz and Edward both well enough. They're never going to say anything that they don't believe, understand, that they don't know to be true.
But isn't that what people are craving? Yeah. Isn't that what you're, and can you feel it? Because I know, like Daz, I remember last time we talked, you actually are hired by authorities and different people in the past. I don't know if you still do it right now. You probably do, because at that time you still were. People to solve, to solve issues and to look for crimes and stuff. So you can feel it, I would think. I can feel it. People want genuine. They can feel, like you said, Dick, that so many people do have that ability, that psychic ability. And I would say a large percentage, a majority of the people can tell when someone's not genuine. And they're hungry for genuine, because all we get all day long is... BS.
Well, I think that's why social media is doing so well right now. You know, TikTok, things are blowing up on TikTok, and people are becoming their own kind of media corporations, and YouTube as well. It gives people the voice nowadays, and you can tell when, as you said, when someone's genuine, when they're in front of the camera, and there's no gimmicks. Yeah,
that's right. And you guys can really feel it. Let's talk about, you said you do interesting things, and you do, you know, help people understand what's happening. What is the most interesting thing that you've done lately?
I can go with what I think is most interesting. And
yeah,
and it's because I found even more news on it today, because there's an article in I think Vanity Fair today about the origins of COVID. And we did way back in 2019, when COVID literally just emerged, we did a remote viewing project where we were tasked blindly to look at the origins of COVID. And all of us as a group came up with some great information saying that we felt it came out of a lab leak. And at the time, the lab leak theory was like, it wasn't even out there as a possible theory for this. But right now, the evidence for the lab leak theory is massively building. I said, the news report out today absolutely clarifies that. So that's good. You know, I think that's good, because we had this amazing data we put out before anyone knew what was happening. It's a shame we couldn't capitalize on that data, and you know, we didn't help save any lives or anything like that.
But was it a leak?
Sorry,
or was it a on purpose leak, or was it a real leak?
I think we had the evidence that also, I think the combined evidence said that it was an accidental leak.
Oh, okay.
But it did come from the Wuhan,
but definitely lab created.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
because we know that COVID was planned by the World Economic Forum, right? Because of, you know, they wanted to do the whole reset based on COVID and everything else. So it's kind of weird that it was an accidental leak. But, you know, if it was, then that's, I never know what the truth is. So that's interesting to hear.
Yeah.
Well, Edward Reardon has some of the most spectacular data that was collected. When did we do this? Was July 2019. We do targets. The mission of the remote viewing at crypto viewing is basically to observe and document the transition to the new financial system. And a little bit later, I can get into what that means, because that's a whole,
that's
financial system is the control and the trading of actual humanity. But okay, before I get to that, we did one of our open-ended searches, and we, in mid 2019, when was it, Edward? Do you have the date on that? Was it July 2019?
I thought it was 2018 when Edward had his
It was in 2019. I think it was in August.
It was September. In summer of 2019.
It was before any of that stuff happened.
So Sarah, we were doing a target that was a look ahead to looking at geopolitical events that would be significant coming up post 2020, 2021. And we get together and we have a Zoom conversation like this, and we put up screen shares and we show our data. And Edward showed something that he had seen that went right over our heads. It meant nothing to us. We totally forgot about it because in the summer of 2019, he drew this spike protein. He drew the COVID spike protein.
Wow.
And he said, game of function. This is game of function. I don't know what it means. And so we went, oh, okay, that's interesting. And it was literally like 30 seconds of a debrief. And we went back months later, like the next year, and went back and looked, and we were like,
I have it. I can.
It's so incredible.
If you can screen share, Edward can
show
it.
Yeah, let me do it. Just a host this. Oh, I would need permission to screen share, Sarah.
Oh, I can give you that.
Okay.
For Sarah and the audience, this was published on our site, documented, time stamped.
This was it here. This was one of them. And these were, and again, like we were saying with the lab. With what we were talking about in the lab thing, because the sense with these was that they were grown in a lab. And then this.
Oh, yeah, wow.
But the interesting thing, like Dick was saying, when we debriefed this session, I remember after this session going, gee, sorry, guys, I think I really blew that one. Because the coronavirus thing didn't even start. So I was like, I'm glad you guys had good stuff because I think I really blew this one. And then we do so much remote viewing that we can't, you know, it's always on to the next remote viewing project.
For the people who are listening and not watching, what they showed were two screen shares of what looked like the coronavirus and what he found through remote viewing. Go ahead.
And so, that session got forgotten about because we do so much work. We just, honestly, it's kind of funny when we're like, gee, what session was that? I don't remember any of it. But it wasn't until months after the corona thing was a big issue that I happened to just go back and look through that. And I saw that and I had forgotten all about it. And I was like, guys, look at this. This was, you know, we forgot all about it.
You were a loser at the time, and you had got like the most.
I went from a loser to a winner really quick. But that's kind of that's what's so great about our work. We got four really dedicated remote viewers, and we have a huge database of work that I'm telling you, if we were to go back and look through it, we would probably have a full map of what's coming down the line. Yeah. Because we're just constantly on to the next target, and we have a lot of work available. But yeah, that's one example, and that was probably 2 months before the coronavirus event even started. So,
does it teach you something that when you see weird stuff that you're like, well, I mean, because we haven't experienced the future, so you might see something that just seems like some off the wall thing, and like this will happen in 4 years. We had no idea what the heck it was.
It happens to us quite often, I must say.
And so you just kind of file it, I would
think. So we do different types of targets at Crypto Viewing. We do cryptocurrencies. We have a target right now that we know is going to be one of the 2,500 cryptocurrency tokens. So they give us a random ID. And this week we will look at this crypto. We'll try to identify the logo. We will try to describe the function of it. We will try to describe how will the people who hold this feel in a year from now? Who developed it? What are their motives? What kind of people? What challenges do they have? And we're pretty successful at that. So we do crypto targets. we do geopolitical targets like early on in when COVID first came out, they tasked us to look at the Memorial Day parade in New York City. And none of us got a parade. We all like, well, either we miss this target or there won't be a parade. And it was not, we couldn't fathom that there wouldn't be a parade because it was 6 months and there wasn't. So we do geopolitical, we do historical, look back at interesting historical mysteries, and we do what we call woo-woo. And that brings us to the one that Daz just put out on the Paranormal Channel. So everybody can see that, right? You want to tell us about that, Daz?
Yeah, yeah. It's public now on our, you know, on YouTube Paranormal Viewing Channel. And essentially, it's about the Skinwalker Ranch. And there's a, you know, there's a pretty famous TV series about that on at the moment. I think they're on series 3. And in the very first few episodes of series 1, they had some cameras set up over the ranch, and they managed to very clearly film what looks like a disc-shaped UFO in the sky. And below it on the ground, there was a cow that was going through some distress, and it later died. And they caught all this on camera, and I set that as a blind target for the team to see if they could look at the, you know, the actual object in the sky, and if they could pick up who was driving it, what it was made of, its origins, all kinds of information on it. And they came back with some absolutely amazing results on that one.
What did they come back with?
Oh, well, all the combined information definitely came back with some very high-tech, not human-based technology. I think Edward himself did some very interesting sketches of occupants of the possible object and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. What's the occupants? What do they look like?
I'll let Edward go for that one.
Boy,
wait, come on, you brought it up. I'm going to say ask.
Well, first of all, Dick did one of the best drawings. He drew exactly as the sky, the thing, and I was like, it was perfect. It was 100% dead on. But as far as the occupants of the craft, I want to say right off the bat, I'm a huge skeptic. I'm a big skeptic in these areas. But I will tell you this, in that remote viewing session, I put out what I was experiencing, and I didn't edit myself or I just put my own, you know, beliefs or biases off to the side, which is what we have to do when we're remote viewing. And all I can say is that there was a craft and there was something in it. And I was looking at it and it was looking at me and it was, you know, flying in the thing and it was moving. And, it, you know,
what was it? What did it look like?
Daz just posted the video. Everybody can go.
The video is live on YouTube. So you can actually see on the video. What we do with these videos as well is they're unique in our field in that, we get the guys, you know, they don't know what the target is, and I actually get them to, or we task each other on projects to do the remote viewing live on video camera. So what you're actually seeing in the video is them experiencing and doing their sketches actually live in the moment. And I think it's safe to say that Edward's descriptions and sketches are of a typical non-human type being that's generally associated with these kind of events.
Here, I'll show you. I'll do a screen share and show you. So we're given, what was the target? It was something 202-MW01. So we're told, do this target. And all we're given is the letters and numbers. So I turn a camera on and I have a whiteboard. And this is what I drew. And that's the target image.
Oh, wow.
So that was my starting point, and I did about 30 minutes of, we drew the land, and
that's fantastic. For the listeners, it was a direct, it was identical.
Identical, spot on. I almost fell off my chair when I saw that one.
Well, I did too. When I got the feedback, I looked through, whoa. So the most interesting thing I got on that was the like interdimensional portal where like there's these people standing around and there's some energy thing and then something appears and they're all going, whoa, that was an interesting target. So you get to that by the YouTube channel is Crypto Viewing. Is that how you get to it, Daz?
Yeah, what is it? I'll put it up so people can go and watch that.
It's crypto, one word, and then viewing, a second word. And then there's the main channel, and then there's the paranormal channel.
Yeah, Daz. And you can just go to YouTube and type in paranormal viewing, or one word, and that comes up with the channel.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's really cool. Okay, well then, let's talk about Antarctica. What have you, I know that you've done some work with Antarctica. Yeah, because we know all these politicians go down there, and why the heck are they going down there? The Pope goes down there. All these people go down there. Why are, and they go down there at weird times, like on election day or something. What is down there from your remote viewing? I mean, what have you seen?
We only did the one project, didn't we? I can't remember who it was for.
We did the target in the, it was tasked by Cliff High, but we didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the most significant data was high-tech stuff that you got, Edward. My performance on that target was subpar. I remember getting feedback going, oh man, I didn't get good data.
I remember that one now because it was, there was an airplane, the people are in the airplane. Someone on the plane is kind of freaking out. It kind of went right with the story of what they were saying when they flew the one scientist out of there and he was all freaked about what he saw. And man, we'd have to pull that one out.
What do you think was there? Is it high tech? Is it just where the intelligence agencies do all their stuff they can't do here? All the, you know, is it a playground for that? Or is there something
I'll let
there?
You guys take that.
I don't think we've done a large enough, you know, we haven't been tasked to look at anything like that in depth, really. I don't think we've got the data to do to give a conclusion either way. We've only been tasked once or twice to look at almost like the fringes of a certain event, but not anything.
Oh, you've got to be tasked on that one.
So we don't have definitive remote viewing data, but do you want to hear a really wild story, Sarah? And if you publish this, my family will mock me, but this is the true story. In the 1930s, the Germans were getting technology from an ET race. They developed craft that were anti-gravity. And this is how, it's such a long story. This is how crypto viewing actually came to be, because Courtney Brown gave Daz and me a target that was a very famous, infamous leader in World War II who was said to be shot. And my data indicated that he died in an old man in South America. So let me
that's Hitler, right?
Outline the story real roughly, all right? The Germans had access to high technology. The German army lost the war. Hitler didn't shoot himself in his bunker. He went to South America. They took a lot of their technology down south in Antarctica. You've heard the story of Admiral Byrd, Operation, he went down and got his ass kicked. And then in 1952, there was a UFO event over the Washington, D.C., where the UFOs parked themselves over the Capitol and the White House. And it was on the news. You can look it up. Look up UFO event, 1952, U.S. Capitol. Admiral Byrd said they have technology that can go pole to pole in 5 minutes, that we have no power to stop. A demonstration was made in 1952. That was the real end of World War II. There was a treaty. And there are leaders that go down to Bariloche from time to time to get briefings on.
Where's Bariloche?
Bariloche is in South America. That's where Hitler.
Okay.
Went. It's a really interesting story, and it's a forbidden topic. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but the world is a much more interesting place than.
So, are they running us today? Is it an alien race that's running us, or is it just a group of thugs that globalists that are running us from down there?
The globalists are the people that you see, Klaus Schwab and Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Mitch McConnell, all those people are basically peons. There are levels above them. There are levels above the bankers. Somebody created this place that we didn't create it. It didn't just pop up by accident. And humanity was created. And now Daz and Edward may not agree with me on this, and they may have different views. And I know Edward has a totally different view about where humanity can be headed. So I'll let them get to that in a minute, but I'll tell the story real. There are contracts. It's like a corporate structure humanity is built on through age-old contracts with bloodlines running things, the Vatican running things, families above them that you'll never hear about, ETs above them, and it's just not at all what you think.
Is this an ET colony then? And then these families lines
I think
are
we're
running
like
us?
A nature preserve, like a you'd make a botanical garden. And then, I mean, look.
Are we like a zoo? I mean, like they are watching us. We're kind of a zoo.
More like a farm, I would say.
Yep, both a farm and a zoo. We're highly entertaining. We are. And we just put out a really interesting segment on our private site, which is at patreon.com/cryptoviewing, where I do an interview with a private source called Future World. Like humanity, Homo sapiens sapien 2.0 is being designed and implemented. And Elon Musk is part of it. AI is part of it. We are destroying the old system. It's being allowed to implode, and
which it is.
Yes. Well, a new system's going to come out of it. I think Edward's vision of the future is not as dire, so I'll let him put his.
Well, humanity, we have a way of, and I think it's for our preservation. We're very concerned about being the worst it could be because we get scared and we're concerned, and we have to get rid of that fear. I actually think that we could have an amazing future, but we do have to get these, whoever's controlling us. I mean, you said we're a zoo and we're a farm, and the farm part, do they use us for food resources or the energy, or what do you think, Daz?
In some of the remote viewing work I've done where I've had to look at non-human life, I don't like to call them aliens because there's no proof that they're aliens, so I'd like to call them non-human life forms that kind of interact with us. They give the impression that they look on Earth and humanity is like a garden kind of thing, really, and they're kind of growing us and changing us, and they see us the same way as we would see our cattle and our cows. It's just that because we're free thinking, you know, we tend to think that we're higher beings ourselves. That shocks us in a way that there's another life form that thinks of us the same way as we think of how we treat our animals and our cattle. But that seems to be what they're doing. They have a very, very long term plan of secret manipulation of the human race. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, really.
Well, do you see that too, Ed? I mean, and is there a way for us to get underneath, out from underneath their thumb?
I honestly, I don't look at it in terms of being under someone's thumb. And because if you accept that you're under their thumb, then you'll believe that you're under their thumb. A big portion of my personal work over the past couple of decades, and I'll make it short and try not to bore everyone, but through intense inner work in sensory deprivation, I was able to attain a state that I could only call a pure conscious state. And in the deprivation, I could come into that state, and things were, everything was very clear. It was a pure state of consciousness. If I got out of that environment, I would be back in this craziness and it would go away. But I experimented with that over and over and over again. And I wanted to see if I could find that pure state of consciousness in other people. And at the time, I was doing a lot of tarot card reading. I was certified in hypnotherapy. So I was doing a lot of work with the mind. So what I did to test this was at a local bookstore in Mesa, Arizona. You know, it's just regular working class people. On Tuesday afternoons, like around 1 p.m, they would have an area in the back, a community room. And I would do free tarot card readings in that room. And so they would announce it. And people would come back, every kind of person you could imagine. Young street thugs, old people, just you name it, everyone. Maybe a rich guy or a homeless person, everyone. My intention was to do a minor hypnotic style introduction and then use the tarot cards to communicate, set up a line of communication on a pure conscious level. And what I found there was that it was in every single person could communicate on a pure conscious level once it was addressed. So in my opinion, we are a pure level of consciousness. There may be evil people that want to take that, control it, convince us that we don't have it, and all of that kind of stuff. But what I say is, I say that to them.
Amen.
You don't have to accept that. The other part of the work that I'm obsessively working on, and this is regarding remote viewing, and the parts of our brain where I'm exploring to where the potentially maybe the access point for remote viewing, the use of our autonomic nervous system, that our ability to perceive things like this is an automatic, autonomic reflex response, and that is just the beginning of what we can do. So I'm very pro-human. So I don't go well with people who say, "Oh, you know, it's the prison planet and this and all that." If you want to be in a prison, you can lock yourself into a mind prison if you want to, but that is a choice. And I'll get off my soapbox now.
No, I love that, because that's how we get over. We just have to get everybody thinking that way, and we're done. I mean,
we're
they're
just
done.
In my opinion,
or enough
just,
of us.
We're just getting started. We're just
that's
getting
right.
started with
that's right
with our capabilities. Well,
you're here in this experience, and you can navigate the system that we're in, and you have decision space. So. Yeah, you can have a great experience here. All of us are having
That's
really
right.
interesting experiences in this lifetime. I mean, we amaze and amuse ourselves endlessly.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I have a great family and everything else. So I want to ask you about some cryptos that you look at. I want Dogecoin. I just happened to buy it early, and then it tanked on me like everybody else. I'm hoping it gets up again because I want to pay off my mortgage with Dogecoin. Is Dogecoin specifically, do you guys do that?
I just did a remote viewing, and I also put this out on YouTube, that I think ultimately what Elon Musk is doing with Twitter is free speech is just kind of an added bonus.
Yeah.
What he's really going to do is create a platform for cryptocurrency payments, and it will involve Dogecoin. So hold your Dogecoin. This is not financial advice, and that may not be true, but I wouldn't be surprised.
But it might not be a meme anymore. It might not be a meme coin anymore. It'll actually be Twitter's base currency, right?
It had a run as soon as he bought Twitter last week. So it just keep your eye on that.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. That would be really cool. Okay, let's talk about where the financial system is going. I know all these, I know the BRICS countries are taking over, and I know that they want to do government cryptocurrencies. Are the government cryptocurrencies going to be the main way of payment, or are all these independent cryptos going to be around as well? Kind of both, or what are we looking at? Anybody want to take that on?
For central bank, for government cryptocurrencies to have a long lifespan, the governments have to have a functioning government to have a functioning central bank cryptocurrency. The information I'm getting is that governments are going to fail due to any number of issues, financial problems, geopolitical problems, earth changes, earthquakes, floods, fires, wars, that type of thing, is that humanity is moving to a new system of administration that is going to have people as digital IDs on blockchains, with every transaction tokenized on the blockchain, so that there can be both surveillance and taxation at the point of each transmission. So
will it be a world government then?
Currencies are going to be they'll be used as a way to give people universal basic incomes during the troubling times that are coming. We all know that the current financial system is smoke and mirrors, baling wire, duct tape, illusion, fantasy, lies, fake digits on computers. There's no mathematical way that it can continue. I'm surprised it continued this long, but it's going to destruct by design, and cryptocurrencies will have their day. And central bank digital currencies, I don't think people are going to really accept that. That's my take on it.
I don't think so either. Is there a purposeful collapse of the governments to create a worldwide government?
I think so. The other guys might not. Daz is more up to date on, he follows cryptos more than me. We try to stay blind as much as possible, but Daz does our crypto news. So,
well, okay, Daz, should I keep my Dogecoin?
For now, I'm not a great fan of. I have to be honest. I'm pretty conservative. I'm not a great fan of a lot of the cryptos out there. Being a child of the 2001 internet boom. You know, I raised a lot of money back then saw the boom and collapse, and I saw how the internet changed. I think that's going to mirror into the crypto space. So I think it's 2,150 cryptos as of today. I think we will see 2,100 of those disappear, and there will be less than 50 main cryptos. So yeah, it's a crapshoot at the moment to find which ones. Other than, I'm different than these guys on this in that I truly believe that Bitcoin is probably the only one at the moment that can save us from moving down the CBDC you know, central bank digital currency pathway, because it's the only one that no government or no country can control in any way. But I do believe they are moving us in that direction. And I have to be honest, when we started crypto viewing, I was very skeptical of all this data that the guys were saying we're moving into this new digital economy, you know, the financials are changing. I was very skeptical. Then COVID happened. And since COVID, in 2.5 years, I have not used cash once. I use my tap card for everything. So I'm now being, you know, I have to admit, I am now being converted to a new way of thinking of where this is going. And I was very skeptical.
Well, that's what happens when something, you never know what the future is going to bring. Yeah. Okay.
Sarah, about Dogecoin, let me ask you a personal question. Maybe you don't want answers, but where did you bought your Dogecoin on, like an exchange?
I did. Are the exchanges at risk?
Okay. Let me ask you this. Let's say Dogecoin, Elon Musk makes an announcement next week or next month that, yep, we're going to use Dogecoin as paying this on Twitter. Dogecoin's what, 12 cents today? It goes up to $12. Okay. Dogecoin is $12. What are you going to do with it? What's your plan?
If it went up to $12 and I was smart enough to keep it for that instead of selling it at a dollar or something so I could pay off my mortgage? I'm not sure what we're going to do. We have to see.
Do you have a plan on how you're, let's say that it goes to $2, but only for a day and a half.
Well, I have a sell point at a dollar, so I'm not sure. Maybe I should change it to.
Oh, okay. So you answered my question. You do have a sell point.
I have a sell point of a dollar, but maybe I should rethink some of those things.
Well, I don't
sell
give
half
you
of
financial
it.
Advice. The
I
advice
know
I'm
you
giving
don't.
You is,
well,
is,
we can
okay.
maybe we can talk on email where you're not giving me financial advice.
The point I was making with you is don't just hold on to it. Is have a sell point.
I have a sell point,
if it goes to a dollar, you're going to make a lot of money. Have an exit strategy. So
the weird part is I have 618,000 of it. Okay. I'm telling the world. And, that 618, that's the number I've been seeing forever. That's my birthday. That's the number I saw like constantly 1 week all straight. And then suddenly I get 618,000 of, and I didn't even realize that's what I had. And I'm like, okay, when it goes to a dollar, I'm going to pay off my mortgage and then I have to pay taxes. And then I'd wipe it out. But if we went to 12 and I actually didn't sell it all, then you know what I'd do? I'd still do that, pay off my debt. And then I'd pay this. I would personally fund the lawsuit that we have against Google. And then I would save the rest for retirement and my kids.
I just picked a number out of thin air.
I'm telling you what I do.
So I picked 12 out of thin air, and the market cap for Dogecoin to go to $12 is probably unreasonable. So $1 is a good goal. And
I want to
have an exit strategy. Like you need to have your sell order in already because it might go to a dollar while you're asleep. You might go to bed and it's at 50 cents and you go, wow, this is kind of cool. And in 8 hours while you're sleeping, or you get up and make breakfast, you know, for your kids, you'll go look and go, oh my God, Dogecoin just hit 98 cents or it hit $1.01 and now it's down to 60. And then the next day it's down to 40 and it's down to
30. That's right. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do I have it at a sell right now. It's been sitting there for about a year because that's my goal. I want to pay off our mortgage. And it's a gift to my family, I guess, everybody. And then I'm not going to kick myself in the face if it goes to 12. I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm not going to be greedy. I'm just happy because not only did it pay off all this, it more than paid off everything I put into cryptos and all my investments. And now I'm just happy. That's where I have to be. That's what I've been thinking about for a long time.
Yeah, I think you'll achieve that goal.
Yeah, I hope so.
You'll be happy when you do that. And then you can save some of it, buy back. You don't spend all your money, buy back in when it crashes down. But
well, I have to spend all of it to pay off. We'll actually still owe like a little bit on our mortgage after the taxes on the that and stuff. So, but almost all of our mortgage.
Well, good
houses
luck
aren't that cheap. Okay. So, but yeah, but it would be almost like to the point where we could pay it off in like a year or something. So I'd be that. That's my goal. Okay. Who cares about Sarah and her goal? But that would be a great goal though. That would be a gift. Okay. I want to talk about the Westall event. You're in Australia, right, Daz?
No, I'm in the UK.
Oh, I thought you were in Australia.
Yeah, I'm in the UK, the hub of financial problems at the moment in the world.
Well, we can talk about that. Is anybody out of Australia? Is your other crypto viewer out of Australia? I thought for some reason one of your guys. Well, then I don't want to talk about that event. It's not that relevant.
I have a friend in Australia who worked for the Australian Navy, and his 50-year non-disclosure document just expired, and he's telling me really interesting stuff about UFOs. I got to do a segment on that one of these
days. Well, that you do. Well, because their Westall event is like our Roswell event. And I had no idea. I was just doing some search. I'm like, what's this? Oh, wow. They got a Westall event. And it's like in Australia, it's like their Roswell event. And most Westalls are related. There isn't that many of them. And then we all come out of the Scotland, England area. And so they're probably some kind of relative of mine. It's just so weird. But okay, we can get past that. What? You don't know much about it. I do know that there's a lot going on because they're close to Antarctica too. So that's the other thing that makes it really interesting.
Well, they have the Pine Gap facility down in Australia as well, which is a very, very dodgy black covert NSA facility.
Yeah, there's a lot going on down there. Okay, let's talk about the City of London. That's where all the financial headquarter is of the world, essentially. And it's its own country. It's not England. It's its own country. And they don't have the same rules as anyone else. I mean, we don't even know what all the, because it's not fully disclosed what kind of rules they have for financial organizations. What have you seen? Have you done any remote viewing on that area? And what are you willing to talk about that you've seen?
I don't know if we've done that.
Yeah, I don't think we have we? Not that's London specific.
It has cropped up there was a session where I drew the City of London. I drew the tower. I can't remember what it was. It was some geopolitical event. And I saw it being controlled. I think we've seen some cryptos have a tie-in to City of London money structure, just kind of peripherally. I think
that's
we've all seen that from time to time, like the guys in the suits in the City of London.
Yep, some of them are paying for it and controlling the ups and downs of the crypto market, I think, from what I understand. Okay, how about Ukraine and Russia?
We've been getting quite a lot on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine.
I mean, we do the what we do each month as well. At the end of each month, we do what we call the news predictions, and we look ahead a month. And each of us as remote viewers probably put out probably 10, 15 news predictions. You know, so we're talking 30 to 60 news predictions each month for the following month, and we've been getting very accurate hits on events that involve Ukraine and Russia. But I also think we've done behind the scenes for our taskers some events looking at possible future scenarios involving that region and Europe, which seem to indicate some, I'm trying to pick my words very carefully here, very problematic.
A big bang.
Yes.
Oh.
Will there be a nuclear bomb put out there in that area? Because we're at the edge of nuclear war right now.